Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
An Erio's original.
I wonder if you're, I don't know if I would say you have an obsession with nostalgia, but let's just call it obsession for lack of a better word. Maybe it has to do with loyalty to your inner child.
I think one could maybe make that argument. I've always said, like, when I was 7 or 8 years old, watching Saturday morning cartoons or playing with action figures, I feel like I was at my happiest.
Yeah.
And so it's just kind of constantly trying to reconnect to whatever that feeling was.
So Kyle Mooney is with us today, and Kyle is a friend who I feel like I've known for longer than I have. Maybe because you've lived in my house.
I've spent a lot of time in your home.
Which makes me feel close to you. But also, I guess, I don't know, I have known you maybe for like 5 years now.
That's probably accurate, and I bet like, I feel like I knew of you before I knew you.
Really? I was like popular?
A lot of people were talking about you.
Oh my God, that's so tight. Well, I wanted to have Kyle on the cast, the P-cast, to talk about two things at least. But one of them was nostalgia as like one of Kyle's hobbies. Like what you were saying about that episode of Berenstain Bears, that book, that episode of that book.
In case the listeners didn't catch it, that was, I believe it's called Berenstain Bears and the Bad Dream is the specific one I was referring to.
Yeah, and like what Kyle loved most about it is like his movie, Brigsby Bear, which is cool because I think you never realized that until I just said it.
Oh, no, I didn't. Yeah, yeah.
But absolutely it is not. Like you created this whole little made-up universe that seems nostalgic, but it was brand new.
In the same way, like with the Berenstain Bears book, I was really into, even as a kid, like in this one specific book, there are specific action figures that don't exist in our universe, but exist for the Berenstain Bears universe. And there's a movie that exists just in this book. And I always like on Saved by the Bell, for instance, you would get these references to like celebrities in their world. Like there's like a Johnny Dakota episode who's supposed to be like, I guess, a Johnny Depp or River Phoenix or something like that.
Totally.
And there's an episode where they're in a band, the Zack Attack band, and like a manager or like record label guy comes running by. He says that he manages the Beach Buddies. He's like, and they're like, you manage the Beach Buddies? Like, oh yeah, but they're not buddies anymore. But I just always loved like, okay, so there's like a fake Beach Boys in this world.
I love that. So Paul hates it when we're watching a movie that's a fictionalized movie and they're like, ooh, look, it's Brad Pitt. This is such a bad
right.
example.
No,
but Paul's like, why? I don't understand. So Brad Pitt exists in her world, but she doesn't exist.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, whatever. But it is refreshing when they make it up. It's
yes,
funny.
Yes, it is. And it like is like a weird like kind of clue into the writer's room or something like
right.
that. All of a sudden, you're like thinking about these like people coming up with, maybe it's the Beach Buddies.
And I get, yeah, instead of the Beach Boys.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's say they're approached by the manager of the Beach Boys or like a band like the Beach Boys. Like that's a huge manager. It's like the biggest manager in the music industry.
It is funny though too, because it's like this is like, let's say 1991. It's like the Beach Boys certainly are iconic at that point,
right?
But they're also like from like the oldies station. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like it's they're not that hip.
Maybe it's Kokomo time.
Yeah, exactly.
But like,
yeah, I'm trying to think if like the kids like know that, which is just like there's no way they know that. He must say that information that he's associated with the Beach Buddies,
who aren't buddies anymore. But we don't see that much anymore because things are played to be so realistic that
right.
It's just completely takes you out of this world. Did you ever watch Out of This World?
Oh yeah, for sure.
It's so good. It was so good. From what I remember.
Yeah, that's one of those shows that like I've not revisited, but like it's just sort of like a kind of glossy memory. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
And that was it Burt Reynolds who was the voice of her father?
Dude, maybe. I don't even know. I sing the theme song all the time. Would you like to swing on a star?
Whoa.
Carry moonbeams up in a jar. Oh. Wait, what was it?
Are you better
off than you are? Oh, no. I know we're swinging on a star. It gets all bluesy. Wait,
like
that's crazy if Burnt Reynolds was... That's my stoner name.
Oh, that's good. Oh, okay.
But yeah, so...
I feel like when anybody mentions that show, then like somebody... If you're in like a circle of people, then the next show that's mentioned is Small Wonder...
I feel like Small Wonder is like a big nostalgia. So here's my thing about nostalgia. I'm going to talk about my thing with it because I do want to talk about your thing with it. But I'm like, I love a deep cut. So to me, Small Wonder is like everyone's go-to. Like, it was so weird. Remember that show? And it's like, yeah, we all remember it. Obviously, it was like a girl robot. I watched it, but I wasn't crazy about it. Like, it just wasn't a great show at the time. It was like something that was on after Mr. Belvedere or something. So it was like, I don't know. I didn't love it. But I also come from maybe like a different age group that when people are like, Goonies, like remember Goonies? And I'm like, bye. Like I can't even, you know. So I'm like, I like the deep cuts. I like the weird trivia that I didn't know, like Burt Reynolds being the voice like that. And I like, I posted on Instagram this poster, Wrinkles in Search of Cuddles, which I just saw and I thought it was super funny. And the girl from Punky Brewster was in it, Margot. And Kyle was like, oh, I have that poster and that movie on VHS. And I'm like, of course Kyle has this. But it's a deep cut. Like, I've never seen it.
Yeah, that was one of those that like, they had the video at Blockbuster that when I was growing up, and I would just constantly rent it. I'm weirdly like, so I'm probably a couple years younger than you,
mm-hmm.
but I've got two older brothers, and like I feel like I'm steeped in their nostalgia. Mm-hmm. So like,
how old are your older brothers? I was born in 79.
My oldest brother was born in 78, and my middle brother was born in 81.
Yeah, and my sister was born in 74. So, like, some of my stuff is her stuff, like remembering it. But that has more to do, that's more like when she was in junior high and high school, when I thought her, everything she liked was really cool.
Sure.
74, 75. Sorry, Kate, if I don't remember and you're listening to this. But anyway. I know that you really like Saved by the Bell. That was like a weird segue, but I don't know what else to say about that.
Well, yeah.
I like fine. Okay, so there's things that like I remember from when I was young that I feel like if I could just find it or hear the song, I would smell like being 2 years old again. There's this one video that we used to watch over and over again called Herself the Elf. And I've seen the toys, but I've never been able to find the video because we recorded over it. But I remember like the credits rolling. So I used to watch something that we recorded over. It was something I watched all the time. And when the credits rolled on Herself the Elf, that came up like after. You know how when you recorded over...
Yeah, no, but so, I'm sorry. You recorded over Herself the Elf?
We recorded over Herself the Elf, but
you
after
still got
I was
the credits.
Done... Right, but we still got the credits at like the end. And there was a song that I always used to watch when it at the end of this other thing that I recorded, and I just maybe was too lazy to press stop or really, really enjoyed the song. Sure. And I feel like if I can find, I've never been able to find it ever, ever. I mean, I haven't searched for it in a while.
I'll be on the lookout. Is Herself the Elf an cartoon. Animated thing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it was like a Saturday morning cartoon. Like this could have been like a one-off.
A special.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if there was one or five or 50. So I don't
but
know.
But they had merchant. They had like paraphernalia.
Yeah. So I've seen the toys before.
Interesting.
And I didn't have the toys. I just remember this song from the video. So like that kind of stuff interests me. I still sleep with my baby blankets and they're like Snoopy and Woodstock, although now they just look like gray rags. But when I had them, when they were fresh, right. I mean, I still do have them, but when they were fresh, they were yellow and white with Snoopy and Woodstock. And now they look like dirty dish rags. But I had been searching for those for maybe like 35 years.
And searching for new versions of them,
yes,
you're saying?
Yeah. And I found them when Mary was born.
That's so sweet.
And I have them. I bought them. They were like, I found two and I have two. And they were super cheap on eBay. But like Mary just doesn't, she's just not into them. But I just couldn't believe that I found them.
Of course.
That was like that's one of the best things that's ever happened to me.
Absolutely.
But it doesn't, it's and like, it is just a thing. It's just.
Yeah. But I mean, there's so much loaded connection to it, but from the time you were a little kid with the blankets to this point in your life now, what was happening to the blankets in between? Have you always held on to them?
Yes.
Was there, okay. So
I've been sleeping with them for 40 years.
Wow.
Yeah. I love them so much. It goes Paul, Mary, Judy, blankies.
And do you wash the blankets?
Uh-huh. Sometimes I put them in the freezer because I like it when they're cold.
I've never heard of people doing that.
And I also like it when they're very, very wrinkly. So I like damp dry them and then I scrunch them up in a little ball and put them by my pillow. Is this like TMI? Because it's
No, this is...
Put them by my pillow and wait for them to dry so they're really, really wrinkly because I like the feeling. There's something very soothing to me about the feeling of running my fingers through the wrinkles in search of cuddles. Every guy I've ever dated, I'm like, yeah, this is part of my
deal. You
got to
deal with the blankets.
Yeah. Sometimes when Paul is sleeping, I'll like tuck one in his arm so he can cuddle with it.
That's very sweet.
Yeah.
And are you okay? You're okay. Do you travel with them or do you keep them here?
It depends on how long I'll be gone for. So like when I was away this summer, yes, I took them with me. But if I go away for a week, I don't. Because my fear of being without them is not as big as my fear of something happening to them, losing them,
sure.
Getting luggage.
You'd rather them be safe.
Yeah. When I used to bring them in the car with me, I wouldn't let anyone open the windows because I was afraid they would fly out.
Wow. So from your childhood home, you hold on to them. You take them to wherever you're...
Sleepaway camp. I brought them. College, had them.
And it's Snoopy and...
Woodstock.
They're on both blankets?
Yeah, and then there's a third, which it has like a teddy bear pattern that's also faded. There's three. It's
okay, this is news.
A longer story.
News to us. We didn't know about the third blanket, so...
I know. There is a third one. So I had three originally. The original three was the two Woodstock and... Snoopy and this pink one. The pink one is in the trunk in my den because it's made of a different material and it's very, very frayed. It's like basically falling apart.
Sure.
Like I'm hanging onto a ball of yarn. But so it's in my nostalgia trunk. But then I found my sister's old blankie and I adopted that one when I was like seven. And now my sister's old one became the new original three. It sounds complicated, but pink can't be touched.
So here's my question is, you're obviously incredibly connected to this stuff. and it's meaningful to you and you don't want to lose it, do you ever think about like what happens to this after me?
I get buried with them.
Okay, really?
Yeah, unless I get cremated, in which they get cremated too. Or if somebody else loves them, I'll leave them to, if like Mary wants them when I die, then she can have them.
Right. But then it like still, but then it just like, it continues. Like, what do we do with the blankets? Do I hold on to my mother's blankets?
I mean, that's something that they're going to have to decide. Like, they're not, eventually they'll
disappear,
disintegrate.
right.
Like they, yeah. I mean, my thinking has always been they'll come with me.
That's great.
I love them so much. Do you have anything like that?
I mean, the most obvious thing I have in my apartment in New York is like a VHS collection, which is relatively deep. And then
how many would you say you had?
I'm going to fully ballpark guess, let's say 500 or something like
wow.
that.
Wow.
But that could be totally inaccurate.
Okay.
I mean, like there's definitely like one large bookcase filled and then like several drawers throughout the house.
Right.
With like videos in it. And then like, I even have some in storage here in LA. So like, it's one of those things that, and I've pretty much stopped gathering them. I don't really, sometimes people will gift me videos, but it's to a point like I can't deal with mm-hmm. just the amount of space that they take up. But yeah, I guess there are other things that I have from like my childhood. I'm trying to think, besides photos, I've been over the course of like my career, I've been holding on to like scripts or flyers, all with like the notion of, I feel like this will do something for me someday. Like,
right.
Even if it's like a scrapbook or something.
Yeah, I have other things like that. I guess it is about like not throwing certain things away, but also like I just got Mary a bunch of dollhouse furniture. Actually, didn't buy it for her. It was, so Paul's mom has saved like him and his sisters, all of their toys, which is awesome because I got Mary, I took from their house all this dollhouse furniture that was the same dollhouse furniture I had in the 80s.
Right. That's great.
Which is, my mom would never save that. Like,
sure.
And I'm so glad that Jeannie saved it. I probably would have bought it or looked for it, but it would have been more expensive. And it's like, do I really want to buy this old shit for Mary? Because it's more for me.
Right.
With certain things, like, I got her like some old strawberry shortcake dolls because
sure.
I think she would like to play with that. But it is more for me.
It is, oh, yeah. I'm sure. And it's, I don't have children, but it's like something
yet.
I'm out of here. but I've observed it with my older brother who has two kids, like, you know, he did the eBay thing, like wanted to buy like the specific, like whatever it was, Fisher Price playset
yeah.
that he had. And like, I think there's also this, like, let's watch these cartoons that I used to watch or these movies that I love.
Right.
And you kind of always wonder how are the children going to consume this? Is it going to stick with them? Is it going to be meaningful?
Yeah. Like I grew up listening and watching Free to Be You and Me, and I've tried to get Mary into it, and she doesn't dislike it. She's just not obsessed with it. Like
right.
She loves Frozen.
Yes.
She loves Cars. It could be because the only available, like Free to Be on YouTube, it just like looks like shit.
Sure, sure.
I can't find it anywhere else.
Yeah, I do wonder, like, I know I'm not the first person to like pose this question, but like for like those CG movies like Cars or Frozen versus like whatever like cell animation we watched as kids or whatever like dumb live action stuff we watched, I do wonder if there's something that the kids are picking up on, that like some level of vibrance or imagery or like the way it's made that we're not connected to. But I feel like when I see my niece and nephew watch those type of shows, just like the way they're glued to the TV is pretty insane.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's because they have more human emotions. They're able to copy human expressions better. Maybe it's because they're more, they're rounder.
Sure.
Like their
and
eyes.
Not flat.
Yeah. Yeah, could be that it looks better. I mean, that's also relative. It looks crispier, maybe. I don't know. Because I don't necessarily think it looks better aesthetically. But is that because I just have a fondness for what I grew up with? And I think that
I think yes and no. I think, like, if you're talking about animation, I feel like if it's like Snow White or something like that, that was like the peak of animation generally. But I think like Saturday morning cartoons like is actually kind of shitty. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Yeah, that's so weird because immediately I thought of Snow White and I'm like, well, that looks really pretty. I don't know why I picked that one because it's not like, I mean, I guess I watched it a lot, but I also watched Cinderella.
Right.
And
most of those are like pretty.
They're really pretty.
Yeah, yeah. Like every frame is like a piece of artwork, it looks like. But yeah. I do wonder about like, I feel like this is like kind of a generation X and after thing maybe where like parents really trying to put the nostalgic spin into their own children. Cause like, I don't know how much of my parents did that to me. Do you know what I'm saying? Like it would be like it would be like my dad being like, oh, we got to watch Darby O'Gill and the Little People. But
what is that?
It was like a live action Disney movie with, I think Sean Connery's in it. It's like a leprechaun movie.
Right.
But it's like, I don't think stuff is as special to like my parents. I can't speak for
right
the entire generation above us, but you know what I mean? Like
it might depend on like what kind of person you are, because I don't think my mom gives a shit about anything from that. She's really into music from her childhood and from her youth, but my dad would be like, oh, we have to watch Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Like, sure. If you want to get into scary movies, like, you have to watch The Shining. Like, we have to watch Yellow Submarine, which was, like, a mistake. Don't show that to your children. It's terrifying.
The Blue Meanies.
Dude, that, just the animation on Yellow, but he also, the animation for Yellow Submarine is, like, really scary. There's, like, the mouths are really big and smiley and it still like makes me feel weird. But he's a dude who like collected animation cells and things from his youth. And he's sure. like a,
so he was connected to it.
Yeah. And he still is like, he saves things and always has. And, but he also is really into like new technology also. So maybe it's just, that's the kind of my dad is sort of like a hobbyist or like, a collector
sure.
kind of dude. Like if I go to a flea market, I'd much rather go with my dad than my mom. Like my mom wouldn't be as into it. But
yeah, I think my parents are kind of like, if I made a playlist on Spotify that has like songs by The Association or some 60s right. band or something like that, they'll like sing along and be like, oh, you know, like
yeah,
it'll be more recognition and they'll have fun with it. But I don't think they're going to like go on eBay tomorrow to buy like a bunch of Association records or anything like that.
Right. Whereas like my dad has definitely bought and sold stuff
right.
on eBay. So one of the things I was thinking about you and nostalgia, and I just wanted to bring this up and maybe, I don't know if you've ever thought this, but I consider you like one of the most loyal people I know. Like one of your main attribute I would say is that you're just such a loyal friend. You're like a very loyal person.
Well, thank you for that's very sweet of you to say.
You're welcome. But also, I wonder if I don't know if I would say you have an obsession with nostalgia, but let's just call it obsession for lack of a better word. Maybe it has to do with loyalty to your inner child.
Yeah, I think one could maybe make that argument. I've always said, like, for me, and maybe this is the way everybody feels, but like when I was 7 or 8 years old watching Saturday morning cartoons or playing with action figures, I feel like I was at my happiest.
Yeah.
And so it's just kind of constantly trying to reconnect to whatever that feeling was.
That's really well put and so true, I think. Like, nothing mattered except for fun stuff and playing. And I remember just feeling, like, so imaginative.
Yeah.
Because you're creating these worlds with your action figures that you're basically playing God.
Totally.
And, like, and that's really fun. So it's like, you know, in that sense, it's kind of like, oh, the first time I ever had control over anything.
Yeah, and then it does, like, spur, I guess this kind of connects, and I've never made this connection, but to the Berenstain Bears thing, like, I don't know if you did this, but I was always, like, it's like, once I got into the Beatles or something like that, or even if it's Star Wars, like, I could, like, make my own version of that, like, draw my own versions of that. Mm-hmm. So, like, I had, like, a fake rock band that, in my head, I was telling a story every time I, like, drew a picture.
Yeah.
I don't know where any of these pictures went, you know what I mean? But, like, I drew over the course of whatever year that was, 1993, probably several drawings telling the story of this rock and roll musician and like his like
that's so cute
kind of narrative from like yeah from like being in like a shaggy haired like British rock band to like then like an Elton John like big sunglasses era.
Yeah,
and the same goes with I think like Star Wars or He-Man and like kind of making my own version of that.
That's so cute. See, I would do this thing where, like, I read Archie comics and Katie Keene comics, like, had so many of these old comic books. And I would trace, they had, like, sort of paper doll insert things, but I didn't want to rip them out of the comic because I didn't want to lose a page of the story. So I would trace them and I would trace their bodies and I would draw my own outfits over them. And I was like, oh, I'm going to be a fashion designer one day. Right. And it was a lot of fantasy. So like, this is going to be like their dance camp uniform.
Totally.
And like making up places they were going. And this is where what they're wearing to the governor's ball or whatever. Not knowing what that was. Just had sounded fancy or overheard them saying it or whatever, somebody say it. I feel like they were always going to the governor's ball in Archie comics, but probably not. I think that's the Academy Awards. But anyway, yeah, I mean, you're right. Like, I didn't think of it as like tapping back to a time where I was really so creative and daydreamy, like,
right,
which is really fun.
Yeah, it's also dark. The other side of it is that it's dark in the sense that it's like, oh, that means that things after that point were not as fun,
yeah,
which is, I think, the truth. True. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, why can't I tap into that fantasy anymore? Well, I can, but my super ego immediately shuts it down because it's like, well, you don't want to be a fashion designer. You're not a fashion designer. So like, don't waste your time. Don't do that. Which is what I love talking, why I wanted to do this podcast and talk about hobbies, because I am interested in the thing that takes us back to giving us joy without any agenda, like without having our super ego be like, this is a waste of time.
Right.
Don't do it. What's the point? It's not bettering your life in any way. It's not connecting you to anybody. But
like when you... I guess in reference to the topic we're talking about today, like when you found the new versions of those two blankets, whatever emotion you got, like fulfillment or just like remember whatever it was, like mm-hmm. that what made it worthy, right? Because
yeah.
like you felt good and like it did take you out of whatever shitty thing you had to think about that day, I'm sure.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, a lot of it had to do with the score, right? So like, and that's an older person way of looking at it. I had been looking for them for so long that finally finding them and finding two of them in pristine condition, I was like, ultimate score. Felt like a win, right? Which is not a little kid feeling for me. It's maybe more juvenile, like 10 middle school.
Sure.
That's fine. Like, no judgments on myself. But then like inhaling them and thinking like, these are real. These were made. They weren't just made for me. They were mass produced and other people had them. Did make me feel connected and like, okay, somebody's selling them. They never use them, but
you think they were never used?
Maybe like they do feel very close to pristine.
Yeah.
So like maybe one of them is dead stock. Maybe the other one was very, very gently used. But like, I like the idea that, oh, these didn't just like come to me from outer space. Like they're a real thing. And like maybe somebody else still sleeps with them. Like
totally.
There's something nice and comforting about not being the only one.
There's always that feeling of like, do you remember this thing? It was this commercial and you're like trying to describe it to somebody and you can't get, they're like, no, I don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
And then one day maybe you're telling it to, explaining it to somebody and either they know it or they like look up the right thing on YouTube and all of a sudden you're watching the clip and you're like, damn, it's been like 19 years since I saw this thing.
Yes. And definitely, that has definitely happened to me. And also the one person who's like, either they bring it up first and you're like, oh my God, I've been thinking about that. And like, no one remembers it. And that person becoming like, you know that they're a homie. I mean, that happened to me once with like the peanut butter solution. Do you own that on VHS?
I don't own that. That's like from a series of like Canadian children films. I have this other, like maybe the one that came after that. That was the one that like blew up.
Because the peanut butter solution was scary.
Yes, it's weird. Yes, it's...
What's the one that came after it? I didn't know it was even from a series.
The Great Land of Small.
Oh, that sounds scary.
It is. It's like the imagery is pretty
I really want to see it.
Yeah.
I love that. And that's something with like Brigsby that I also feel like you really tapped into. Like something really scary about the stuff we watched when we were kids.
Yeah. I feel like there are certain movies that people will be like, that was, I feel like Return to Oz is one I hear people talking about. Never Ending Story.
Mm-hmm.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That movie is like, it is kind of a horror movie.
Sure. Yes. And like tragic.
Yeah. Like the horse sinks in the mud.
Yeah.
It's terrible. The horse is like kicking a lot. Like that's like an awful scene that I don't think.
I feel like anybody who's seen that movie, that scene is.
Yeah. It's really just
stuck
upsetting.
In their brain. Yeah. Artex.
Yeah. And also like you can't, I was very, very frustrated with The NeverEnding Story and rewound the ending so many times because I didn't understand why I couldn't make out what her name was.
It's so obnoxious.
It's the worst thing that anybody could do.
I remember like whenever like the internet became available, maybe I was probably in college realistically, maybe I was in high school, but like finally being able to look up the name.
What is her Bastion. Name?
Moonchild! I think Stop. It's Moonchild.
Really? So Judy really reacted to that. I thought that you don't hear it and the whole purpose is that you can't hear it and that it is, she's not even saying a real name. Or
well,
word.
It could be. Now, first of all, I could be wrong in the name. This is what I remember, but like, it could be a scenario where like it says the name in like the novelization of the movie. And so right. like people are like claiming that's what he says. But yeah, it is obnoxious. maybe it's arguably good filmmaking because like it makes you think like, what the fuck is he saying?
It makes you rewind and think you're crazy and turn your volume all the way up, play it in slow-mo. I mean, to me, I don't think that's good filmmaking. I think that's like, you're frustrating me and I don't know if it's on purpose and I don't care for it.
But Leslie, you're still talking about it right now.
The movie is good for other reasons. That's the worst reason.
Well,
I don't even know if it's good.
I've not watched it all the way through in a long time, but there is a large like turtle-like character that mm-hmm. Atreyu
hangs out with.
Yeah, encounters at some point, and that character's named Morla.
Uh huh.
And I was gifted a tortoise when I was in like fourth grade, and I named it Morla because like it looks like the turtle from Neverending Story.
So we
put on the video cassette and like fast forwarded to the moment where you meet Morla to figure out what Morla's name was.
I want to talk about your other hobby, but I also am curious, like what is your favorite VHS that you own that was like either like the deepest cut or like the hardest to find or the thing that really made you feel feelings in your tummy?
Totally. There are different ones that like mean different things, obviously. Like when I was in college, I found this video, Prayer Bear, which like has mm-hmm. become very important to me. And it's basically like a Christian kids video with like this kid and his animatronic bear that's like kind of, you know, giving lessons and, you know, Christian lessons and stuff like that. And his dad's like a kind of a country singer.
Uh-huh.
But like Prayer Bear, the character like made, one night, it was like the end of my senior year in college. We put on this videotape and like we smoked hookah and just, I watched this video and I was just like crying as I like laughing and crying. And Prayer Bear was so funny to me. He loves like Spumoni ice cream. And he's like, let's get ice cream. He's just like I was like, it was so demented to me and funny. And that was really special because then I feel like I was like, oh, this is the type of thing I like. And I want to uh-huh. try to find more things like this because it's so specific. It's made, there's probably like, there must only be less than 500 video mm-hmm. cassettes of this. And so that was very special in that regard. And I especially like fucked up religious videos.
Right. But then you were like, this is the thing that I want to make.
Yes. Like, I want people to experience this.
Totally.
Yes. Which I guess in essence was what our movie was, what Briggs & Bear was like attempting to do is like kind of, yeah, fucked up kids show.
Yeah.
But then there are videos like I was, as a kid, I was obsessed with this live action My Pet Monster video.
Uh-huh.
And that was one that like, again, like in like Wrinkles in Need of Cuddles was like at the Blockbuster and I would just rent over and over again. But then it took me a while. I wasn't like eBaying when I was 20 years old because I didn't have any cash.
Right.
But I would always tell people I was obsessed with it and... my girlfriend at the time got it for me for like a birthday and it was like so special. But then these things, I don't know if you guys have experienced this. It felt like it took so long for this thing to reenter my life. But then like a month later, I was at a record store and there it was for 50 cents.
Yeah. I've had that experience. I can't remember with what specifically, but it is a little weird and annoying. Like, what's going on that this is now popping up
right
in the world? Like, what?
And then I pick it up because
collective
like,
unconscious. Oh yeah, you bought it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the same thing happened with this other video I like a lot, Cartoon All Stars for the Rescue. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
I haven't thought of that or seen it in a long time, but I definitely. It's like all different characters from different cartoons together.
Yep. And they like simulcast it. Yeah, so it's like Garfield and the Muppet Babies and the Ninja Turtles. And the whole thing is like a drug PSA.
Right.
But that was one where like free rental at Blockbuster. They had like any like kind of like, I don't know what they called it. Like they were like community, like
Right.
Anything with a good message you could get for free. So like that's another one I would get over and over again. And then it took a while for it to finally re-enter my life. And then again, like then I saw it at Amoeba not too long after for super cheap.
There was definitely a period of time, and I'd say when I was in high school, I was like, oh, I wish I can find this after-school special I used to be obsessed with when I was in sixth grade. I wish I could find this made-for-TV movie. Like, Bad Ronald is a good example. Like, I really... My best friend and I... Have you ever seen Bad Ronald?
No.
It was a made-for-TV movie about a family who moves into a new house only to discover that there's a boy living in the walls.
Sketchy.
It's terrifying. Bad Ronald. And I couldn't remember it. And I remember explaining it to my best friend, Allie, and maybe her brother. And we're like, yes, dude, I remember Bad Ronald. And like, this is 1997, 1996. Like, there wasn't eBay. We couldn't find it anywhere. There wasn't YouTube.
Totally.
So it was just something that we never thought we would be able to find. Now I think that they have it on DVD. Like, it's like a thing you can find at Amoeba.
Yes.
But the moment has passed and I haven't bought it. I haven't seen it.
Totally. As a child, I was nostalgic in the sense that, like I said, my older brothers were into things that like Transformers was already off the air or whatever by the time I was like of mind. Right. But like, we had all the toys at the house and like I could still rent the videos at the store. So like I was like kind of wishing for that stuff to be around.
Yeah.
But it just made, sometimes I think like, had we had YouTube in like 1994, we could have accessed anything then, kind of would have been a different ballgame.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I was the same way. I was nostalgic for, I think probably as soon as I was able to remember or see pictures where I was a baby and I wasn't a baby any longer. So like six, seven years old. When you discover that you've lost something and you can't get it back. So it's like the first time in your life where you're mourning something. And like Paul and I talk about how when we were little, I would like walk alone on the sidewalk and be like look down at my shoes or like be like, I'm so alone and nobody understands me. Like we would make up songs about the loss of something and like feeling sad. It's like being emotional, being emo, because you just are feeling something new or for the first time. And I would miss things that I didn't need anymore. And so there is like a phase when you're, and I don't know how old it is, but when I was probably like 5 or 6 or 7, wanting to use a bottle again.
Oh, sure.
Like there's like a regression
totally.
That kids go through. But I do think that that's wrapped up in like, it was wrapped up with like movies and TV and toys. And I don't know if what it's going to be like with kids now where they have YouTube and can just watch it or tap into it. Like I have no, also I might remember things from photographs because, oh, I remember that, but do I remember it or is it because I have a photograph that helps me remember it? And I have a lot of photos from when I was a kid, but not as many as Mary's going to have.
Sure.
Like she has tons of photos. So if anything, like kids will be smarter because they'll just remember so much more. Like it'll be so easy to tap into.
Right.
I mean, smarter, I don't know about, but it has to do something with your brain and inflate your brain in a way where you're not searching to remember something because it's there. Yeah, maybe they'll be smarter, but they won't be tapped into like this emotional, nostalgic thing that we create from like false memories. Right. So like I have this thing that I remember. As far as I know right now, it doesn't exist. I mean, it does somewhere, but I haven't been able to find it. It's more the memory I'm attached to
totally.
Than the thing itself. Maybe they won't have that. Like maybe that says something about their imagination or their ability to feel as much as we do, but I don't know.
It's going to be different.
It'll be different, but I don't know if I don't know if it'll be good or bad. Like, I don't think that it will always be worse. We're always like, I don't know how it's going to be for kids of this generation. Right. It's going to be so fucked up. But like, our parents thought the same thing about us, and like, we're fine.
Yeah,
like everybody will be fine.
Everybody's gonna be fine. I'm
emotionally,
sure.
Emotionally, like I don't know what's gonna happen with the Earth, but
right. I think also like maybe it'll be nice for the younger people to not have to deal with listening to us talk about like. Do you remember RoboCats?
Yeah. We'll be like, yeah, and then they'll just type it in and be like, cool, exactly. Remember it? Great, bye. So I want to ask you, I want to talk about your other hobby, which is skateboarding, which is also kind of nostalgic.
Yeah, totally.
But and you still skate.
I skate. I'm not incredibly active in the way I'd like to be. It was something that I'm from San Diego, and it's kind of a skate and surf culture there.
Yeah.
And it's like when you're in middle school, also that was the mid to late 90s where like everybody, I imagine it was nationwide, but certainly in Southern California was wearing like skate shoes and skate gear, like shirts. And
was it like Wake Up San Diego style?
Inside SoCal?
Inside SoCal. Why am I thinking Wake Up? That's another thing.
Wake Up San Francisco is maybe the Full House show?
No, Inside SoCal. Was yeah, that like the style?
Yeah. Which is like, yeah.
Will you guys do that again? How come you don't do it anymore? It's the funniest thing to ever happen.
Thank you. Leslie is describing a sketch that we do where it's like basically...
But
like,
you did it on SNL.
We've done it maybe three times. I don't even know. The reason we don't do it anymore is because it's basically bros, like San Diego or Southern California bros, like delivering the news, but the news is specific to them and their friends. But that stuff doesn't like, it's not like it crushes it like at 30 Rockefeller Center. You know,
dude,
what I mean?
It does. It crushes for me, and I'm not from San Diego, and I fully get it. And it's so, so funny, and like, I get it, but whatever. If it doesn't work for SNL, then it's their loss. So like when you skateboard now, like what kind of outfit do you wear? Just what you're wearing?
Well,
okay, sorry.
I'll back up just to say that like, so I feel like if you were 14 in 1997 or whatever, you at least like attempted to skateboard at some point in San Diego.
Yeah.
And there's also the era of like pop punk. And so all these things kind of meld together. But
like all the small things.
Yeah, exactly. Like cool. Blink 182. Yeah, totally.
Heard that's hot again. Heard that shit's cool again.
I do see the name Blink popping up quite a bit.
Cool.
I was not great. I was not like incredibly athletic generally as a kid. Uh-huh. I always like tried my best, but I knew kids who were really good at skating. I was not that great, but I was always kind of into it. Mm-hmm. And weirdly, like I was into like, even then, like 80s skate culture. Like there's that movie Thrashin', and that's mm-hmm. a movie I would rent over and over again.
Do you have big wheels and a wide board?
I had hand-me-downs from my brother that were just like kind of, yeah, skateboards of the era. I think
there's 90s boards though, and there's 80s.
Yeah, this was 90s. But then like later on, I feel like somehow I got like a true like 80s board,
uh-huh.
maybe at the end of high school. Like I just got it from a friend. But anyway, I was just never that great. But I like liked it as a hobby, and I liked sometimes when I'd catch watching clips or anything like that.
Yeah, you don't need to be great. Like it's fun. It's fun to skate around.
Yeah. And then
I almost think it's like cooler to do it, and like you don't have to be pro to like, or even like good to enjoy doing something.
Totally. Though I will say like, more like during my first year at Saturday Night Live, I kind of got back into it and like I kind of was like, oh, I kind of want to pursue this. And I have a friend who's a professional skater.
What's
and, like,
his name?
Richie Jackson. And we would go skating all the time. And all of a sudden, like I started getting good, and that I feel like this has fully, I imagine, like kind of aligns with what your show is about. But this was a scenario where like it was cool because it had nothing to do with comedy, and like it was something that I could feel myself getting better at and progressing, yeah. And like it was just as rewarding, if not more rewarding, than whatever like professional things happen.
Totally. That's like exactly the thing. I love that. Do you still skate?
I do, like, now maybe like twice a year. I usually like to do it with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't do it really in New York. Like, New York is scary to me. People love skateboarding in New York. To me, it's kind of scary, like just the traffic.
And mm-hmm.
People love, I think a lot of skateboarders love the maneuvering.
Yeah, but do you ever go to skate parks in New York? Because there's like all the girls on Betty.
Yeah.
Like, they do a lot more like
transition.
Yeah, that's what it's called. I should remember that after not working just for like 2 months. But they do a lot more transition.
Yeah. I mean, I've definitely been to that LES park.
It's so loud.
But even that's like, I'm not that guy. It's intimidating.
Oh, yeah. It's intimidating, but also they're mostly just kids.
Right.
And some of them are tall and like have their shirt off, but they probably all watch SNL. Like, not that that matters, but like, yeah, that place is intimidating to skate. I mean, because I don't skateboard, I think I have like a different way of looking at it, but it's hard. And I guess when you like fuck up and there's like tons of people around, it's like,
I kind of need to, like, I've skated in a park a year ago with my friend Robert in San Diego. And what I need to do is I need to explore the park and like figure out, okay, what can I do here?
Right.
So it takes me a minute to be like, what can I do so that I don't feel like a poser or a loser? And so I kind of map out, oh, I could do something fun on this ledge or whatever.
Yeah. You should go skating, if you ever want to, with Rochelle or like any of the girls, because like I would feel safe skating with them. They're good, but they're not, I mean, they're probably getting better every day, but like, you know, some of them are better than others. And they skate LES, but they skate a lot of different places, and like definitely not as intimidating as LES. LES sure. is also just like a very grand location. Like, it's huge and it's loud and it's big, and like they skate lots of other cute spots. And if I ever were to skate, I would go with them, not only because I know them, but like they have fun. Like,
yeah, it seems like it. Yeah, yeah. That would be fun.
But that's so cool. I hope you still do it. I hope that you continue to do it.
I think I will. I think like it happens like twice a year. Like I went out with, you know, there are some comedians who skate. I skated with Tim Robinson like a couple months ago.
I can picture
him
skating.
He's very good.
Really?
That's the thing, is just like, you have to be comfortable. Oftentimes you're going to be in a situation where like people are way better than you, and mm-hmm. like you have to be okay with that.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, like, I like, what my hobby, you know, has been painting, and like it's different because I don't do it with anybody, but I certainly don't think I'm at a place like every painter who I like is better than me. And I still like, I show them my stuff or whatever. And there's something really freeing about not trying to be the best, or
totally
just going at my own pace that I really enjoy. Then again,
you're getting just like the feeling of, without putting words in your mouth, but like progression, or like feeling like I'm doing better than I did last time.
Right.
That's like so powerful.
Yeah. And I'm just trying, and like, I'm zoning out, and just by doing it, just when you keep doing something, you can't not get better at it, like as a default. So like the fact that I just enjoy the process, I actually enjoy the process of painting more than I like the finished product. Like I have tons of finished paintings, and they're just
right
throwaways, or like I give them away. I guess in order to skate, you'd have to like enjoy kind of fucking up in a way, and like getting better, or like learning how to do something. But I like that you felt, and we're going to wrap up, but I like that you feel, or you felt like, as good doing that as you did anything professionally. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, making comedy is it's wonderful that I get to do it and I feel very blessed. But like, I'm sure if you were to ask other, it can be intense, and to be around people who make comedy is intense, and to like have to like force yourself to think in those terms is intense. And yeah, it's just awesome to have something that has fully nothing to totally. Do with that.
Yeah, it's really hard work, and it is totally awesome that you get to do it, but it takes some of the fun out of it when you know that
totally
this is what I do for a living, and it's not just like doing skits with my friends, which was also really fun for me growing up and something I did all the time that I don't do anymore because I'll take that back. We did it was it your birthday party or Fran's birthday party? We did the Spice Girls. And you guys do Bad Boys.
It was Kate's birthday.
It was Kate's birthday.
And I don't know.
We did a skit.
Yeah.
That was the best. But I used to do that shit all the time. And now it's like, well, like, I'm not going to UCB. Like, I don't want to, I want to perform this for my friends when we're hanging out.
Yes.
Got to do that more.
We should have a talent show.
Yes, we should.
I think talent show would be fun. I'm sure people have talents that we don't even know about yet. I play the trumpet.
You do?
Or I haven't played in a minute, but I think I could.
Does lip syncing count?
Absolutely.
Sick. Okay. I got a couple ideas. I think this is a great, great idea. You're saying with our friends, or you want to open it up to like anybody listening?
Let's start with our friends. Okay. And then we'll kind of like brand it and it'll become a thing and it'll like pop up in different cities. And
God, this is the best idea ever. Yes. Okay. I'm hungry. We're going to go. My first question is, what do you wear when you're doing your hobby, which is skateboarding?
Some black jeans. I always want to wear some jeans because I don't want to scrape up my knees.
Uh-huh.
Some maybe some Reebok sneakers. And a t-shirt that I'm cool with getting a little dirty.
But also like maybe has a cool slogan on it.
Maybe something with like Taz on it or something.
Yeah.
Like that.
Cool.
I got some style to it. You know, it's like, he's doing his own thing. He's not good, but he's doing his own thing.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah, it's okay. He can hang out.
Right. Yes.
My last question is like, do you have like a fantasy hobby? Like something that you wish you wanted to do?
Sure. Cooking would be cool. Like, it's like even thinking about it though is stressful to me.
Same. There's not a podcast I've done where we haven't brought up cooking and how much I hate it.
I didn't realize that.
Oh yeah. It's one of the main things. This podcast should be just called Cooking's Not For Me and possibly not for you.
I'm definitely okay with it. There's so many people who like do love it and who are great at it that it's like, oh, I'm okay for that not to be my lane. I'm trying to think if there are any other things that I wish I was good at. I don't know.
Like
a golf?
Oh, yeah. That would be cool. What about, like, camping? Like, right now I just thought of, like, camping.
See, that's...
Not for you.
I don't want to... Listen, I don't want people to get mad at me. But that's... I'm not good at that stuff.
And Paul doesn't like it, and I don't think he's good at it either. He doesn't care to be good at it, but, like... I just was looking at my fireplace and thinking, I'm not bad at starting a fire. I wouldn't mind being a little bit better at it.
Listen, I get it. I'm a connection to nature. That's awesome. And kind of like stripping yourself free of cell phones and
Oh, I
machines.
Don't care about that. I just like all the gear. And like the pots,
well, your hobby
the jangle of
could
the pots
be,
and pans.
Your hobby can be like collecting camping gear.
And like putting up a tent and doing everything very efficiently. And
yeah, I feel like if I were to go camping, I would not be the guy who would be putting up the tent. I don't trust myself to be put in charge of that task.
Okay. Noted for when we do our big camping trip at the end of the summer. That's my new pitch. And the talent show's there. You'll never do it. Most of our friends don't like camping. That's why we don't go.
Is it one of those full, like, you love it or hate it? Because I feel like you're either super in, you're...
Yeah, I think so. I don't love it, but I would do it. If, like, Paul was really into it, I could get behind it. But he hates it.
I also wonder, and I should get going soon, but, like, from a lot of... I wonder for people who I know who are friends of mine who love camping and love the outdoors, how much of it is, though, like, we're going to do shrooms.
I know. It does become a whole, like, we're going camping. Who's got the shrooms? Which I've been on camping trips before where everybody's done shrooms except for me. And it still was really fun. It's kind of way funner without it. Like, when people just get, like, tired and silly and maybe, like, a little drunk, but not even. I don't know. Like, I've laughed the hardest not on drugs. I'll say that. But if people want to do shrooms, I am a bit of like a guru.
Okay. Brag.
I also like it when people do shrooms. When I hang out with people on shrooms, people think I'm really funny. So I like that.
That's cool.
Yeah. That's like where my comedy shines. I'm standing because I have to pee. We're going to wrap up. Kyle, thank you so much for doing this. Any shout outs?
Johnny. Thanks for having me.
Okay, bye. I love you. You can call our podcast. I don't know the number. Well, I'm too hungry and I have to pee and whatever. We'll talk about it next time. Bye.
Want to talk to Leslie about your hobbies? Call our toll-free hotline at 844-370-VOID. That's 844-370-VOID. Rate and review Filling the Void on Apple Podcasts. Filling the Void is an Erios original with editing by Tracy Levy and original score by Michael Cassidy.
Erios.
Powered by Acast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.